You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We have today with us Chad Willardson. He's the founder and president of Pacific Capital. He is the father of five, and he is the author of a book that's coming out today called Stress-Free Money. So welcome, Chad.
Thank you. I really appreciate being on the show today. Appreciate it.
Well, so Chad, what a couple of things I'd like to ask you. What have you learned about your book, writing your book? What have you learned about being the CEO? And but most important, what have you learned about being the father of five?
There's a lot of great insight in those three questions. I would say, you know, as far as writing the book, it was definitely a lot more difficult than I anticipated. It's something that I've talked about doing for a long time. And it's almost surreal that it's here and it's live today. But I really feel a great debt of gratitude to clients and friends and just people I've met along the way that have been so supportive of the book. And I feel like we're going to get off to a great start. I really see a lot of people already sharing and promoting it for me. But the what I really found insightful was going back and digging through the lessons of meeting with different families and entrepreneurs over the last 19 years and gathering their stories and looking at what could we pull out of those experiences to help, you know, share some insights for more people as they get their hands on this book. So it's been a great learning process for sure.
So what's it been like to be the CEO of a company?
I never necessarily intended on starting my own business. It's not something that I know some people say since they were 6 years old or something, they knew that they were going to be owning their own business. But for me, that's not really how it evolved. I spent 9 years at Merrill Lynch Wealth Management. And after the financial crisis and the Great Recession of 2008, I just found a greater need to find a different way to help advise families and entrepreneurs and clients that allowed us to be a lot more independent and objective. And so, you know, I was almost, I don't want to say pushed, but I was almost compelled to find another and a better option. And this is where it led me. I started Pacific Capital on 11-11-11, a little superstitious there. So started it back then and I haven't looked back. It's been a great experience. I'd say the number one insight I would say is that your people and your values matter the most. So getting the right people on your team and clarifying your vision and your values with those people and making sure that they're on board, I think that's one of the greatest lessons I've learned as an entrepreneur.
Well, what have you learned from having five kids?
Wow. So my oldest turned 16 in November and my youngest is five. We've got three boys and two girls. I would say each kid is different. They all have their own unique abilities and talents. And I've learned, you know, I'm still learning. And I believe that each child has a different way of communicating and receiving communication. So almost like how we treat clients differently based upon their needs and preferences and goals. Mm-hmm. I tend to take that same approach with my children in looking at how can I help them thrive based on where they're coming from? Because they're all at different stages and they've all got different personalities. So adapting to each of them to help them really optimize their decision-making that's been a great learning experience for me.
So have you achieved stress-free parenting?
Not yet. No, I don't know if that's possible, but I've definitely taken some things I learned in business and tried to apply them at home. And I feel like that's definitely helped, but no, I've still got a long ways to go.
So talk to me about stress-free market, stress-free money. What do people need to know? Well, where are you seeing the stress right now?
I'd say the stress comes from uncertainty. And the stress comes from lack of preparation and planning. So people really are, you know, 85% of people report that they are anxious about their financial life. And I feel like there's a heightened level of stress with all the coronavirus and the businesses having restrictions, and there's a lot of unemployment. There's uncertainty around an election coming up. So people really, that stress is at the forefront. They're wondering what they should do. And I think there's just a lot of anxiousness out there. So stress-free money to me represents the opportunity for people to really look at how can they best prepare and what decisions can they make today that will put them in the best position for long-term focus on what matters. The less stress and anxiety you'll feel when it comes to your financial life.
Well, would that be a sense of, is it a matter of being able to predict, to improve your ability to predict what's actually going to happen?
Good question, and absolutely not. Prediction tellers out there. There's a lot of people who act like they can predict the markets, and that's one thing that I will consistently answer and make sure our team answers the same way, is that we can't predict. We're not in the business of being fortune tellers, but what we can do is help you prepare. So I think that is where the value comes in, is people really understanding that they can have a big impact on their financial future by focusing on what they can control. You can't control if the markets go up or down, or what happens with interest rates, or even what happens in elections, but you can control your own financial habits, and that's where the biggest difference can be made.
Well, let me push you a little bit on that, because what I'm thinking is that there are many people who understand what control means. Mm-hmm. I can control what I eat if I'm trying to lose weight.
Right.
I can control what I do for exercise. I can control what I spend. Right?
Yeah.
What I'm thinking is that where people can really gain insight is improving their ability to control, to predict what will happen based upon their behaviors.
Got it. Okay. Yes. No, that being intentional about your own behaviors and looking at the kind of the outcomes or the path that you're on, I think, like you said, that's very crucial. You can make a major impact with very small decisions and small habits. So I would say predicting in the sense of looking at what you're doing today and where that's going to lead you, then yes, that's extremely important. A lot of people expect a financial professional to predict what's going to happen in the markets. You know, we get that a lot. Well, if this person wins the election, what's going to happen in the stock market? And honestly, none of us know.
No, nobody knows.
Right.
Yeah. So. What's going to happen in 2020, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Well, these are going to happen. Oh, right. Well, what I'm looking at is our ability to predict. It is not a fortune telling. It's not a hope. It's not a wish, not a dream. But as we begin to understand, as I hear you talking about, understand how my behaviors, maybe small behaviors, but how my behaviors lead to consequences. And as I get comfortable with that, and I begin to depend upon that, and I begin to be, oh, if I eat this, this is going to happen. If I don't eat this, this is going to happen. And if I continue on this path, I will get to 178 pounds by March the 31st.
Right, right. Having a plan and executing it is basically what you're saying. Having a very intentional plan on your behaviors, executing it, and then seeing the outcomes come to pass. I think that's crucial.
And then getting comfortable with that prediction. And when,
right.
Now, of course, that's a learning. So when I say I'm going to get this done next week, or I say I'm going to get this done in the next 90 days, which often we do in EOS. When we're working with entrepreneurs, we talk about predicting what's going to happen next week. And that's not a guess. That's not a prognostication. Mm-hmm. It's not a crystal ball. I predict because I trust that you will get it done.
I get it.
And I built my trust on your behaviors in the past.
Makes sense. I like it.
And so now, when I say this is what's going to happen in the next week, in the next 90 days, in the next year, the next 3 years, the next 20 years, Why would I be stressed?
Right. Right, because you've got a plan, and you're predicting by creating your own future.
Yes, and so often people don't understand that that's possible. They feel like they're victims of some external force, cause, or even tidal movement.
Yeah, the circumstances. The circumstances are dictating their outcomes, is what they might feel.
Right. And now, my experience, and that's why I'm asking you, my experience is I create my future. Would you agree with that?
100%. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I think the lack of feeling like you have no control or influence over your outcomes, that's where you feel powerless and where you're going to where you're going to feel that anxiety and that stress, because you feel like you can't actually influence the outcomes, when I believe the opposite is true, like you're saying.
Right. And so often, I mean, I think maybe the majority of people in the world believe that they have absolutely no ability to create the future.
Right.
They're victims of circumstances.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. That's a big issue.
And that's why they're looking for soothsayers and crystal ball people and financial planners that are going to tell them all about how they can, how the circumstances, that the financial planner controls the circumstances.
Right, right. It's true.
So to what degree does the ability to predict relieve my stress?
I think the more that you focus on creating a specific roadmap, in my professional opinion, it helps to have a third party professional fiduciary helping you do that. But you've got to actually create that roadmap. They can't create the vision for you. But the more that you can clarify your goals and your future and work together to set up the habits and the decisions that will get you there, then the less stress you'll have, because you basically, you know where you are and you know where you're going and you know how to get there. And when those three are all in place, then you don't have that uncertainty or that worry about outside circumstances as much.
And we have one of the sayings in EOS is that there is no such thing as failure. No such thing as failure. You when you set your goal and you create the path for it, you either achieve it, which sometimes happens, many times happens, not always, but if you don't achieve it, it's not a failure. It's an opportunity to learn.
Right.
To learn, what do I do differently next time? What did I not take into account in terms of my roadmap? So, to what degree is a great financial planner, a coach, a mentor, somebody who is enabling somebody to learn how to predict?
I think a great fiduciary advisor will be just that. They will be a coach. They will be a guide. I felt like sometimes I've been a marriage counselor. I've worked with couples on their disagreements and kind of clarifying and getting some alignment. You'll be a mediator. I don't think there's value in just saying, do everything for me, Mr. Financial or Mrs. Financial Professional. Just do it for me. I don't really care. I don't want to know anything. I feel like the process should be more like teamwork, and you've got an experienced guide. You know, if you're going on, let's say, a river rafting excursion, and you go on a hike and you get to this big, long river and there's waterfalls and rocks and there's sticks everywhere, and the rapids get big every so often, it helps to have a guide who goes down that river every day. And that's what a great fiduciary advisor will be, is that guide that helps you navigate from where you are to where you want to be. That's what a successful fiduciary advisor will be for you in your life. And to me, that's an essential part of your life. You know, to really have that guide giving you the advice and the guidance along the way, because there are going to be very high, rapid, dangerous, tumultuous times like we just had in March and April of 2020.
Well, and we talk about, you're using the word fiduciary, and I'm wondering, Will, is fiduciary, when we're talking about helping people predict how to go about getting what they want, rather than sitting there waiting, hoping, dreaming, and often being disappointed, when we talk about helping people learn how to predict, how to create their future, would you think that involves not only money, but also time and resources?
100, absolutely, it would. Yeah. And the reason I say fiduciary is because I believe that the guide you're hiring to help you make these important life decisions should be financially incentivized to do what's right for you at all times. Mm-hmm. So I think where people run into problems sometimes is they're working with a sales agent or a broker or a sales rep, and they're looking for that independent objective advice. And instead they're being sold an investment fund or sold an insurance policy. And they feel that they still don't have that anxiety go away because they're not even sure if they made the right decision. And they're not going to have that guide who's with them throughout the entire journey. So I just say that with the intention to steer clear of people who are trying to sell you something to get a commission and move on, but really find yourself someone that is going to be there for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And is going to give you advice on things that don't financially benefit them, but they're really looking out for your best interest.
Well, and that whole notion of sales, some people think sales is the job of getting people to do something that they wouldn't otherwise do. Mm. Right?
Right.
My job as a sales, and I got to share with you, I spent 18 years as a Sandler sales trainer. Mm. And people would come to me initially as a salesman and say, tell me how to get people to buy my stuff. Right?
Yep.
And I would ask them, well, what is your, when you walk into a sales call, what is it that your intention? What do you expect to do? Oh, I intend to get them to buy my stuff. And I said, when you do that, then their automatic response is to stop you from getting them to buy their stuff. And what I would help them to do is, over the period, sometimes took years, but they begin to chip away at that belief and help them to understand their real job is to create an environment where somebody trusts them enough to tell them what the real problem is. And then to wait to find out if this is something they want to solve. And then to determine, can I help them?
Right. That's a great process.
Yeah. And sometimes as you know, in sales, sometimes I have to tell people, I don't think you need this right now.
Right.
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 Right. I just don't think you need this right now. Maybe sometime in the future, but we can continue to talk. We can continue to be part. We can get to know each other a little bit better. But maybe there's something like a fiduciary salesman, huh?
Yeah. Someone who really is looking out to solve the issues rather than just to make a quick buck.
Right. And sometimes I don't, as a consumer, I may not even know what the issues are.
Right.
In fact, I think psychiatrists are taught the issue that the client brings you is never the real issue. You find that to be true?
I think so. A lot of times they're worried about the wrong things. And, you know, they're worried about, for an example, in their car, they're worried about a little scratch on the rear view mirror, and they've got 4 flat tires.
Right.
So part of our job is to really help them identify not only all the different risks or gaps in their plan, but also the opportunities as well.
And that helps them to predict better.
For sure.
And now, let me ask you, I've never really asked this of a fiduciary before, but how do you feel when somebody achieves their goal?
Oh, it is so satisfying to see a client go from perhaps stressed and a little bit disorganized and concerned to very much like the book title, having a stress-free relationship with money, and they're confident and they're clear about their future and they're reaching their goals. And it seems to propel them forward into greater things. And for me, that's just extremely satisfying and fulfilling.
Now, where does that stress come from? What for you, what is that stress?
In terms of what the clients are facing?
Yes.
I think it just goes back to that lack of clarity, lack of planning, lack of preparation, just the overwhelming feeling of there's information overload. So the news is screaming at them every day. They're getting phone alerts on what they should be doing. They're worried about the big headlines, about all the potential negative outcomes that the world and our country are facing. And it just seems to weigh down on their shoulders.
Is it fear?
Fear is a lot of it. I think fear and uncertainty is a lot of it. Yeah.
Fear and I'm uncertain about what's going to happen.
Correct.
I can't predict the future.
Right.
Do you help them? Do you help them to just get rid of the fear? You don't ignore it, stuff it. Or do you help them to learn how to use tools to take responsibility for creating the future instead of fearing it?
Absolutely. On the last part, we help them, we help them identify the best tools to help them create the future that they're aiming for and really understand what it takes to get there. And so we will be with them from beginning to end and helping them really find the ways that they can achieve their goals, which are different for each family. They're going to be different for each entrepreneurial client. But that's important, is that they understand what they now have in their toolbox that they can use, and they just feel a lot more confident going forward rather than this fear of the unknown.
Right. Well, that's what we do with EOS is we help leadership teams take responsibility for the future, and we teach them how to use tools to help that prediction come to be.
Right.
And sometimes that future is 25 years away. And I see companies every day moving. I think both our coaches, Dan Sullivan, right?
Yes. Yep.
And what Dan says is, when you have a 25-year future and you're working on it every 90 days, right?
Yes.
That's 190-day periods. So you only have to move 1% every 90 days,
right,
to get 100% of your future.
So it's a long enough time frame that you can accomplish almost anything.
Absolutely. And I really think that the kind of things you're talking about is very empowering for people.
I believe it is. I believe they take control of their financial life. A lot of the comments I hear are, I feel like a burden has been lifted and I finally know where I'm going. Or I don't worry about the markets or my money anymore because of what we've done together in the last year or two. So yeah. Those are the comments and the feedback that I love to hear.
Yeah, I can predict. And ultimately what I love to hear from people is, I can predict that I'm going to be okay.
Right.
No yeah. matter what happens, I'm going to be okay.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. So are there any tools that you can share? I mean, I think we talked about, you said that there's like seven things.
Seven obstacles. Yeah. I think the, I've made the book. I feel like it's very readable for any particular person of any particular financial education background. Actually, one of my younger sisters read it recently and said, this is her response. She said, "Chad, I actually really like it. I actually understand it." So, that's probably her first financial nonfiction book she's ever read. But I feel like these seven obstacles will apply to you, whether you've got.
Are there financial fiction books?
Yeah, there could be. I won't name them. But
be aware. Yeah. It just has finances on it or money on it. It might be
That's
a
right.
fiction book.
Any kind of get rich quick book, I would classify in the fiction categories. But the number one obstacle, I'll just tease that out there for your listeners, is it's about not having clear goals. And a lot of people come in and they want to talk about their investments and their retirement planning, but really they don't have any clear goals. And so when we ask them to really get specific, they don't have anything. They've got to go home and think about it. And to me, that's like going to an archery range out in the forest and there are no targets. You've just got some bows and arrows and you're shooting it into the wind and shooting the arrows into the forest. And there's literally, you've got nothing to aim for. There's no target. And you're not even sure how to measure your progress or your success. So first and foremost, before you make any investment decisions, you've got to have a specific goal. You've got to have a goal and a plan in place. So the investment decisions are basically an outcome of the goals and the planning that you've put in place. So I think that's where everyone needs to start.
All right. So when people could buy the most expensive bows and arrows in the world, right?
Right.
And put on the best bow and arrow suit and shoes and costume, right?
Yep.
And go to absolutely the best bow and arrow range, but if they don't have a target, what are they going to do?
It's a fruitless experiment. You've got to have a target. You've got to have something to aim for. If you have nothing to aim for, then you'll never get there.
Well, and if you have a target, then there are lots of things you don't need if you have a target, right?
I agree with that. Yes.
I am fascinated. I don't know if you've seen this fellow on Netflix. He's got a show on, not a show, but there's a documentary of him on Netflix, where this is a fellow who has no arms. Mm. And he is a world champion archer.
Incredible. Right? Yeah, it's incredible.
Astounding. He and not only does he use targets for his arrows, he also had a target, which was the goal to be the best in the world.
Wow.
And he now is.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine that?
No, I mean, it just goes to show that if you've got those specific goals and you've got something to look forward to and you got something to work for, you're predicting your future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he did it. He did it. And that's what I find so amazing. And I don't know why you don't have a line a mile long outside your office. Right?
I haven't checked outside today, but I'm not guessing it's a mile long today.
But you guys are literally doing magic with people.
It feels like it.
Well, you're doing things that they don't believe are possible.
Are possible. Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. True.
And what you're doing is giving them tools to create their future.
Right. Yep. That's absolutely the case. That's what we're here for.
Well, so give me some examples. Tell me some stories of people who've done things that they just did not imagine they could do.
You know, I've seen cases where clients, you know, there's one story I like to tell. There's a couple that their clients now, they're in probably their mid-70s. They've been clients for almost 20 years. Neither of them ever earned a high income. They were both in education, but they started saving and investing from their very first paycheck. They were extremely consistent and intentional about their money. And here they are in their 70s, no debt, extremely comfortable. They've got seven figures in their retirement accounts because they've taken advantage of that long-term compounding interest. And if you were to ask them 30, 40 years ago what their future would be like, I don't think anyone could have predicted that these two educational professionals with their very modest income would ever end up living the retirement lifestyle they're living. But it's because of that discipline and those intentional habits that they've got the freedoms that they have now. And so they're doing things with their, we're helping them do things with their grandchildren that, you know, they only dreamed about, doing things to help support their higher education, as well as involving them in charitable experiences and contributing to causes that the grandkids are interested in. These are life goals that could only be fulfilled with proper planning and with that consistency and those habits and accountability. So it's great to see families using money for good and teaching the next generation about being responsible with their money when they came from such a modest and humble background. So that's one story that sticks out to me.
Well, now you said nobody could have predicted that. Now, if we could roll the movie back,
right,
and you knew you were watching them set aside that savings every paycheck.
Right.
Would you have predicted it?
Yeah, maybe I should have said that differently. I think no one could have expected it. Judging by the outside, they would have said this couple is maybe barely getting by and they're not able to do many things because of their modest income. But, you know, they had a goal and they had a plan, and here they are completely fulfilling that with their children and grandchildren, which is just awesome to see.
And they predict it. They could predict it.
Right, right.
And now, I once had a friend of mine said, "Will, never judge your insides by somebody else's outsides."
It's a great quote.
Right? So yeah, if you were to take a look at a medium income, maybe lower medium income, a family involved in education, and you would say, oh my goodness, they are going to have trouble when they retire.
Right.
But we don't know what's going on inside their world.
Correct. Correct. And they were doing the right things when no one else probably could have observed that. But they were doing the right things all along, and here they are enjoying the fruits of that.
All right. So here's a question for you. Is it ever too late to start creating your future?
I don't believe so. It might be difficult to create I think within reason. So if someone is 65 and they say, I want to live off of $400,000 a year in income in retirement, and I want to retire in 2 years, that may not be reasonable. But is it ever too late to get healthy? No. Is it ever too late to completely transform your financial life? No, I don't believe so. I think you can make changes at your own pace. You know, if you want to make drastic changes, you can do that. If you want to take baby steps and start just getting your feet in the water, then you can do that as well. But I don't, you know, I've seen people make great changes at all ages.
Well, now, how old was Colonel Sanders when he started?
Yeah, I think he was over 65. I'm not 100% certain, but he was definitely over 60, I would say.
Yeah. And, I just go through and start thinking of people who did unexpected things because of who they were inside.
Right. There's a lot of great examples of that.
So other stories, other people, talk about a wake-up story.
I think a wake-up story, often people come in, and we had a couple recently come in, and they were working with a large investment, well-known bank. I think the wake-up story for them was, number one, they had no idea how much they were paying for their investments and their investment advice, which came as a shock to them. And they also didn't know that they were not on track, unfortunately, that they should have been saving a little bit more. They hadn't really communicated much about their cash flow planning. And so we were able to essentially make some changes, help them get a little bit more on track. And now we're 2 years in, and it looks a lot more promising because they've made some changes. They've changed some things with their debt and their real estate, and they're in a much better position now. But had they continued on that track, I just think it was a sloppy execution and they were just kind of complacent. And the person they were working with was also just kind of complacent. So we were able to cut their cost by about 70%. And it was, significant. And then basically restructure their cash flow to where they'd be in a much better position once they're retired. So it was a wake up call. I think when I was referred to them, you know, their first response was, "We're good. We already have a financial person and we've been with them for 20 years and we don't need to make any changes." And I said, "Hey, there's no cost or obligation for us to at least have a, you know, have a conversation and look at what you're trying to accomplish and give you some feedback." So that was a definite wake up call. And I'm glad for their sake and for our sake that we met.
Well, so let me ask you, when they came in, did they think they were on target?
Yes. Yeah, they thought they were fine because no one had told them otherwise.
Well, that's an interesting question. If somebody says, "I'm doing all right, I'm doing fine, I've got revenue coming in for my investments, I'm doing all right." Do you say, probably can't help you? What do you say?
We start with just trying to understand what their top priorities are. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they haven't even clarified those and they just say, "Well, you know, I've got a couple million in my investment account," and they think a number is a good number. And so they just feel satisfied, but they may not know, you know, what are the risks of that investment portfolio? What is the income? What are the tax implications if they start taking out money right now? And essentially, how can they fund their goals? So we'll get clarity on that. And maybe they are all right. Maybe they've already got a perfect plan set up. But oftentimes, there are a lot of things that they just haven't looked at or considered before, and we're able to help them uncover that.
Oh, so you're helping them to see... Is it that you're helping, would it be that you're helping them see new goals, or you're helping them to identify that they're really not hitting their goals?
I think sometimes it's even new goals. As if we ask more questions, I like to ask the questions so that. So if they say, "Well, I wanna have, you know, $3 million in my investment accounts by age 66. Okay, so that what? Oh, so that I can do lots of things that, you know, my parents didn't get to do when they were retired. Okay, so that what? Well, I actually, and maybe we get down to it and they say, "I want to take my grandkids to Hawaii every 2 years and create a memorable experience as a grandparent because I never got to know my grandparents." And so now we've gotten down to a specific goal that's tangible, and we can almost put a price tag on that and say, "Okay, well, what is that experience going to cost you to create that family legacy memory?" And then we really have something to work with. And if we don't ask those follow-up questions, we never get to that depth. Mm-hmm. So that's part of our goals conversation process, is really trying to get to the meat of it and get, like you said, get them to trust you enough to share with you what they really want.
Mm. Now, some people have said that prospects always lie. Is it that they lie, or they really don't know?
I don't know. I can't say that I agree with that statement. I feel like people are pretty honest when they come here. It's a leap of faith to even speak with a financial person. I know that a lot of the public are skeptical out there. So,
but what I'm hearing from you is that after, at some point in your conversation with them, they come to a different truth, a different awareness.
And I think that comes from asking quality questions.
Uh-huh.
So the more questions and the better questions we ask them, the more clarity we will get and come to together. And a lot of times that's a discovery process for them as well as us.
All right. So they're discovering something that they didn't know before.
Yes, often the case.
But if they were asked about it, they might give you an answer which is going to be different after they go through the process.
I agree with that. Yes.
Okay. So it lying may be, it may not be conscious lying, but I'm filling in the blanks the best I can, but after a process, I'm going to have better answers.
Yes, they'll have more clarity, and they will have gone to a depth in the conversation that they probably haven't gone to with a financial professional before, where uh-huh. they're often just talking about surface things that hopefully lead to a transaction or a sale.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, we're coming up to the end of our time. What would you advise people to do right now?
I think the most important thing you can do is learn what's important to give attention to and what's not important. And that's one of the key points in the book is, you know, what should you be focused on and what should you be ignoring? Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to help people manage their emotions well and also manage their behavior well as we continue through the turmoil of 2020 and beyond. I've got a newsflash. It's probably not going to get more calm in the next 6 months. That's a prediction I can make. It's going to be continued uncertainty and distress. And so knowing what you should focus on and having clarity with your financial life is extremely important.
So we can really choose.
Yes.
Given the forecast, and you're an experienced forecaster, like a good weather forecaster.
Right.
We got some hurricanes coming. Right?
There's some storms coming, yep.
And it's the external is not going to get simpler.
Correct.
But
you can prepare for that. You can really prepare for that. And it's going to take some effort. It's not there's sacrifice involved, but you can do it.
Well, any focused effort is going to take money,
yep.
time, and yep. resources.
Absolutely.
I mean, that no-armed archer did not become the best in the world without time, resources, and money.
Absolutely, I agree.
Good. Well, we want people to buy your book. It's available today, right?
It is, yeah. It's on Amazon. You can do the hardcover, paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. It's all there. So, now,
did you read the audiobook?
I did not read it. I found a professional voice actor that I thought sounded a lot better than me.
Great. Well, all right, excellent. The Stress-Free Money, available on Amazon or in your local bookstores, right?
That's right.
Excellent. Well, if somebody wanted to talk to you, Chad, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you would like to schedule a free conversation with us on our team at Pacific Capital, you can simply go to goalsconversation.com. Goalsconversation.com, pick a time that works for you, and we'll be happy to chat with you. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. So if you are on LinkedIn, you can connect and follow and engage there. And I look forward to speaking with you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Chad, for being with us today and talking about predicting even in the midst of hurricane season.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Take care. Well, this is another example of how businesses, even in the midst of this weird COVID constraint era and all the hurricanes that are coming at us today and tomorrow, how businesses thrive in California.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.